Welcome to a week 7 edition of the Original 11 podcast. My name is Craig Sachs, and on today's show, we will have DeLon Stallworth, the starting sophomore cornerback for the Princeton football team, a defense that really for 57 minutes was played as well as you could imagine last weekend, and then obviously a couple of miscues late, but they played well enough, certainly, to come up with a big 29-21 victory at Harvard. A lot to talk about from that game, so let's bring in Cody Crucial, the voice of the Princeton Tigers. And, you know, we said it for 5 weeks. It's fun, you know, these blowouts, and you know, you're seeing a lot of great things, but you don't win Ivy League championships with 10 straight blowout wins, and they were going to come. The good games were going to come, and we certainly saw a terrific one Saturday.
It you know, going in, you look at box scores and you sort of look at non-conference records, and everybody's sort of played a different non-conference schedule. And you look at what Harvard did a week before that Friday night game against a Holy Cross team that's really having a down year, and you look at some of the stats for Harvard and you say, you know, this might be another easy one. And then you realize it's Princeton-Harvard and it's an Ivy League game, and Harvard remembered what happened last year, and you get the feeling that the rest of the way there's not going to be an easy one on the schedule with how everybody in the Ivy League's played, and how some of these scores have you know, been a little bit different than maybe we thought they would have been coming into the year. But you talked about the Princeton defense, and that final score, that is a little bit deceiving, 29-21, because with 2 minutes and 11 seconds to go, it was a 22-7 contest, and Princeton's defense, really one miscue that led to that touchdown, but you know, they had held Harvard to single digits up until under 2.5 minutes to go, so that's a much more impressive effort by the Princeton defense than the final score would indicate.
You know, I thought on both sides of the ball, it was the most even matchups we saw all year between both lines. So if you look, starting with the Princeton defensive line, you know, for the first 5 games of the season, I thought they had been pretty dominant, and you could almost see that in the statistics behind them. Tom Johnson, Mark Fassati, you know, Ben Ellis, they had solid numbers in terms of tackles, but nothing like they had the year before, and a lot of that was because there were a number of plays that just weren't getting past the line. Harvard comes in with a very experienced, very big offensive line, and it ends up being a bit of an even battle. And so there's a little bit more called on from the likes of Tom Johnson and Mark Fassati, Jeremiah Tyler, who had the huge fourth down stop. And I thought you saw just how good those linebackers were in that game, because I'm not sure you're going to see a better – you're not going to see a faster running back in the league than Aaron Shamklin. I was as impressed with him as I've been with an opposing running back in quite some time.
Defensively for Princeton, it's – when Harvard was making plays, it wasn't because they were tricking the Princeton defense. It's because Harvard was making plays, and they're a good team with an experienced offensive line and, you know, a quarterback who's been around the program in Ivy League football for 4 years, and a really explosive linebacker, a really explosive running back. Really impressive. That 4-play series where they picked up 3 sacks, that made the difference. Harvard really could have, they had momentum, they could have swung the score. 3 sacks on a 4-play stretch, that gave the Tigers the offensive ability to get a little bit of breathing room. And, you know, you saw playmakers, young and old, make plays when they had to. And that was really, really impressive. It's easy to play defense when the other team has the wind taken out of their sails early on. This is a Harvard team that was throwing everything they could at this Princeton defense. And outside of the last 2 minutes, you have to really like what they did.
Yeah, and, you know, if you hit those last 2 minutes one more time, The first touchdown was just an unbelievable throw and catch. I thought that was pretty well defended. It was just a great play. The second one goes against a freshman in Christian Brown, who probably was up a little too far, and Bob Cerace even said that after the game. You know, that's just something they haven't worked on a whole lot. I thought, other than that, the secondary played a pretty strong game. Stallworth had the big sack in the third quarter. You know, you didn't have C.J. Wall for a third straight game. And so guys like Christian Brown and Matt Winston didn't have much experience coming into this year. They held up under pressure, because you remember Harvard had 3 drives in the third quarter where they could have taken the lead. One of them starts on the Princeton side of the field. 2 of them ended in the Princeton side of the field. and neither were close enough for them to even attempt a field goal. So when it mattered, when Princeton's back was against the wall, they stood up and they answered the call.
We saw it a couple of years ago with James Gales and Chance Melanson, who ended up getting that opposite cornerback starting job. Those were upperclassmen, and you kind of had question marks coming in. And those were upperclassmen, so you expect them to make the adjustments. You have to remember, guys like DeLon Stallworth and Matthew Winston are sophomores. DeLon's a first-year starter. Matthew Winston battled injuries, so never really got his legs under him last year, so as far as game action, he's a first-year player. Christian Brown, he's a first-year player. And Harvard, yes, they were without Justice Shelton Mosley, but you have Adam Scott and guys like that. Those are seniors. Their quarterback's a senior. When you have a senior going up against a freshman or a sophomore, you expect the senior to win that. And Bob Zerace will say it, you know, he'll say it later this year. He's said it a couple of times every year. This is a senior-driven league. The teams that normally win have experience, and they have upperclassmen in key positions. You know, overall, six games into this 10-game season, you have to be really happy with what you've gotten out of this young secondary.
Absolutely. And if we say that the 21 points that Harvard score wasn't really reflective, you can really say the same thing about the 29 points that Princeton scored, because you look at, you know, Harvard goes for it on fourth down at its own 29-yard line because they're two possessions down. They don't get that. Princeton scores from there. And then after the onside's kick, they're kind of in that full press. You got to tackle them for a loss. Volker breaks through that. But in terms of just kind of basic offensive drives, Harvard fared far, far better than any other team had against Princeton over the first 6 weeks of the season. And when you look at it, Princeton needed one guy to really make a difference, to make big, big plays. And look, you saw some from John Lovett, and you saw some from Stephen Carlson and Charlie Volker, but that was, the numbers aren't the same, but I thought that was the quintessential Jesper Horsted game.
Those two catches are what stand out. He had back-to-back catches. I forget what point in the game it was, but he had one that kind of hit him and bounced off, and he just reached his arm out and pulled it in, and then he had the other one, deja vu, down the far sideline, open end of the horseshoe, kind of goes up and over and makes this remarkable catch. Those are two catches that if you see them in an NFL game, you want to, you know, go on the DVR and rewind it and take another look at it because you don't believe that it happened. And that's what the Tigers need. You know, we've seen it this year where you can take either Jesper Horsted or Stephen Carlson out of it, and the other one has always sort of taken advantage of those opportunities. And we saw that from Jesper Horsted. Just some absolutely remarkable catches, and you can tell why they're so high on him as far as continuing his career a year from now.
You know, Harvard did, I thought, a better job against John Lovett than anybody had this season. Certainly, Lovett's coming off the injury they suffered against Lehigh, missed the Brown game, came out with a cast on his non-throwing hand, and you know, who knows necessarily how that impacts him. But still, he ends up 207 yards passing, a touchdown, you know, rushed for a crucial 33-yard touchdown on a 4th-and-1 early in the game that gets totally forgotten because of how it all ended. But you know, the one big pass that Princeton needed in that early in that fourth quarter was the 20-yard strike between Lovett and Horsted that got that touchdown. I thought both players there, that's a tough pressure-packed play. It was a perfect throw, a little high, you know, where nobody could pick it off. And Jesper just kind of reaches up and pulls that down. And that's the kind of pass that a lot of times kind of bounces off the receiver, ends up getting picked. Once that hit his hand, it was done.
You brought it up on the radio broadcast. One of the really impressive things about John Lovett, and we could spend 25 minutes just going down the list of really impressive things about John Lovett, when he throws the football and it's a pass that's maybe not in the perfect spot for the receiver, it's always in a spot where it's almost impossible for the defense to make a play on it and force the turnover. And that was an example of that. That was either going to be Jesper Horsted doing what Jesper Horsted does, or it's an incomplete pass and it's not coming back the other way. Really impressive. A, the decision-making of John Lovett, and B, the ability to put the ball in the right spot.
You know, turnovers matter so much in these games. And, you know, Princeton, statistically, and a lot of it comes out of those last two drives, but statistically, Harvard had more yards, more rushing yards, more passing yards. Those two turnovers, they really held up. The Harvard has the halfback pass that goes to T.J. Floyd, his second interception of four against running back option passes, and then the forced fumble in the third quarter. Princeton has been so disciplined in two areas this season, penalties and turnovers. Penalties, that got away from them a little bit over the weekend, and it's something I know will be addressed with the team this week. Turnovers did not, and you said it. John Lovett puts the ball where his receiver can get it, and the other guy, the defensive backs can't. And then the ball security on run plays, Charlie Volker, Lovett, you know, Edie, Quigley, they're just, the ball hasn't popped out, you know, more than twice this year. And those were, you know, the one to Bermelin and then another one kind of later in that Lehigh game, I believe. It's just, they have talked about ball security from the preseason. I haven't seen a team that has executed this well through 6 weeks.
To start off, I think it's safe to say T.J. Floyd leads the nation in passes intercepted thrown by a player other than a quarterback.
There's a good chance of that.
And as far as ball security, you expect that number to be in your favor when you have a senior quarterback and a couple of upperclassmen running backs and your top two or three receivers are upperclassmen. It just shows off the talent and the ability of this team. This is just, you can't really say it any other way. This is just a really good, really experienced offense. And, you know, up and down the board, they're just putting up gaudy numbers. And not only that, they're doing the little things that help you win games. They're making smart decisions. They're not turning the football over up until this weekend. They're not committing penalties. And even with that sort of onslaught, and I know it was frustrating for the coaching staff, all the penalties, 124 teams in the country, they're still second as far as fewest penalties per game. Only Lafayette's been flagged fewer times per contest. So everybody gets one, and the Tigers still able to escape Cambridge. That's a second straight road game at Harvard, back-to-back seasons. Anytime you come out of Cambridge with a victory, you improve to 6-0, you have to be pretty happy.
Yeah, and it certainly sets up for an interesting final 4 weeks of the season. Like, you know, you hate to be the we told you so, but we told you that these games were not going to be 40-point games the rest of the season. I think people were a little surprised. What happened? Well, Princeton beat a good team on the road and never trailed. I mean, these are going to be what these games are like. You have a game, you know, people are going to start looking at Dartmouth, and that's a mistake. Cornell beat Harvard 3 weeks ago at their place, a physical Cornell team that came to Princeton last year and beat Princeton, came back and won that game. I think returns somewhere in the area of 17 to 18 starters, a big physical line similar to Harvard's that gave Princeton trouble this week. I think there is a lot of reason to kind of be trepidatious about what is coming this week, but also to be excited because this is what Ivy League football is all about, and you're in a championship chase right now.
It is easy to overlook Cornell because you have Dartmouth, and they're one of the other undefeated teams in the country, and you have Yale, and even though they've suffered some injuries and they've had a couple of games go against them, they're still Yale, and they're still the defending champion and the preseason pick, and then you have Penn, that big rivalry game that's been moved to the end of the season. Really easy to look at the preseason polls and say, okay, Cornell, this is a team that wasn't expected to do a lot, and, you know, a team that struggled at times. If you look at Cornell and you look at the standings, Cornell's playing for a share of first place.
Absolutely.
This weekend, and this is a team, you mentioned all the starters back. You look at the guys that really hurt Princeton last year and that come from behind win here right back at home, most of those guys are back. They remember how tough this game is. Princeton knows how tough this game is, and you know, you talk about overlooking Cornell and looking towards Dartmouth. You can guarantee that nobody in the Princeton football program is thinking that way.
Cornell's three losses this year. Season opener at Delaware. I mean, Delaware's a top 20 team right now. Home game against Yale, which was fully healthy at the time. And then at Colgate, which is one of four teams that are undefeated right now in FCS football. That is as difficult a schedule as you can get out of conference. They also have the home win over Harvard. They've won two of their last three. I mean, this is a good team that's coming to Princeton with a good running back, a good quarterback, and a really good defense. I'm really excited to see what happens. It's a Saturday, 1 p.m. start on Powers Field. You can watch it on ESPN+, listen on TuneIn or 103.3 FM, WPRB. One of the guys who will be the keys to stopping the Cornell passing game will be our next guest. He has, I really think, blossomed into one of the top cornerbacks in the league. You know, when people stop throwing your way, that you've got the respect of coaches around the league. That is DeLon Stallworth. Let's hear from him right now.
DeLon, you're coming off, obviously, you know, the most exciting and toughest win of your season. I want to go back to that game, and especially in the third quarter where it's a three-point game, and for a while there, you know, Harvard really had the advantage in field position, and your defense kept answering. You hadn't had many series like that, you know, in the second half of games with that tight. What do you remember kind of the feeling on the sideline and on the field in a game that tight, you know, something you really hadn't experienced that this year? What stood out about just kind of the way you guys played that game, that especially that second half?
Yeah, we have been talking about how we're waiting for a game where it's a 60-minute game and where we have to step up and play our hearts out for 60 minutes. And I was just kept thinking about that during the game, and then I was like, now is this time. Now is the time to step up and keep getting stops, and I think we did that. And it was a really good test of what we can do and how good we can be for the rest of the season.
You know, you guys have played with an intensity that kind of doesn't, you know, matter what the score is. And you see it in the second half with the way you were able to shut teams out the first five games of the season. So it's not like you are letting up, but does it, I mean, can you feel the score in a game like that? Does that feel differently?
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's when it's a tight game and both sidelines are going crazy. You know, you've got the crowds riled up. You can definitely feel that. We try and keep the same mentality, same energy all game long, no matter what, though. And I think that really helped during this game because it wasn't like a change in anything. It's just what we normally do.
Third quarter, I think Harvard had – it started its best field position actually in Princeton territory. And that first down play, you know, they call up a pass rush for you. And you've been somebody who has been – I actually feel like teams are starting to stop throw at. But, you know, so often during the season you're being called to – you know, cover these top receivers. How exciting is it? How much of a rush is it, do you know, when you're being called on to pass rush? And what do you remember about that specific play?
Yeah, I mean, anytime a corner gets to come on a blitz, it's definitely exciting. It's fun because, you know, you don't really get to do it. And I just remember going around the edge and seeing the back pop out. And I was like, oh, he's about to bar me. So I lowered my shoulder a little bit, tried to get off of him, and luckily he got to the quarterback. But yeah, it's definitely an opportunity us corners love to have.
You know, it was really an ideal situation. You know, you love to learn things in a win. And for your, especially for the backfield, you know, for 57 minutes, it was a pretty dominant effort. And then those last 3 minutes, you know, Harvard hits you on a couple of deep shots. And look, you're a sophomore. Christian Brown's a freshman. Matt's a sophomore. You know, I know CJ was out, but how good is it to have those kinds of experiences, and what can you take from the way that game ended and learn from?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, 57 minutes, we played really well. We definitely got to clean up those three last minutes. We're still a young backfield, so we got a lot to learn. We're definitely going to get it right in film and throughout practice and make sure that it doesn't happen.
It seemed like right around this point last year when you really broke into the rotation and started playing a lot, and then obviously you kind of walked into your sophomore season as a, you know, clear starter on one side of the field. Where was your biggest development? What did you really want to improve on most from the end of your freshman season to you know, where you are today?
Yeah, I think it was confidence. Just going into my sophomore season knowing that I've played and can play with these guys. And I think that added confidence has let me play my techniques a little bit better and just be more sure about what I'm doing on the field so I can play faster.
You know, you came in with CJ Wall and, you know, Trevor Forbes and Matt Winston, guys that are kind of all making big impacts this season, at, you know, at that cornerback or in Trevor's case, the nickel position. How much pride and how much you enjoy this kind of group of classmates, not even teammates, but classmates in the same positional area, and to feel like you can make an impact, you know, today and then keep growing over the next 2 years together?
Yeah, I mean, we're all really close to each other. We push each other in the weight room and on the field. And I think it's really exciting for all of us just to see where we can go for the next couple of years and see what we can develop into and see how great we can be. I think we have a lot of potential. We definitely have a lot to learn still. But, yeah, it's exciting to look forward to.
And then in the same token, you know, you did get to play last year. CJ Trevor played a lot last year. So you know what Christian Brown is going through, you know, in that first year kind of being thrown into the fire. What has impressed you most about what he's done this season?
I think how he's stayed calm, you know. I mean, made a couple of mistakes at the end of this game, but he never really lets his head get down. He's always open to learning. He's asking questions. I think being in the same position last year really helps me to kind of guide him a little bit, both me and CJ and a couple of the other sophomores. So I think that he's in a great place right now. He's going to continue to get better and be a great player for us.
Did you guys at least give him a little grief on the pick six that he almost had early in the Harvard game?
Oh, yeah, of course. He gave me grief for dropping my pick last game, so I had to give it back to him a little bit.
You know, you guys, you mentioned it. You're still young, even though I think you've played quite a bit over the last 2 years. But you do have a couple of pretty experienced guys behind you in Ben and TJ, and both are having standout years, especially TJ, what he's done in Ivy League games this season. How important are those two, not only for you guys as corners, but like kind of the whole defense, their communication and their experience?
Yeah, they're huge. I mean, they're coaches on the field. Like you said, TJ has been great getting the ball back, been a ball hog. And Ben's coach on the field, really. He's any questions we have, we ask him. He gets us right whenever there's confusion on the field, make sure we're all on the same page. I think they've been great for allowing us to be confident in what we're playing. And it's like going back to what I said about being confident and playing fast, whenever we know what we're doing, we can play faster, so we're like when we're sure of ourselves. And I think they've really been good at just keeping us together, being the leaders on the back end of the defense.
You know, one of the things I've been most impressed with this team has been, you know, the way that you haven't let kind of some of these big margins of victory make you lose focus or anything like that. You've stayed kind of humble and gone from 1 week to the next. But do you feel like you can pick up a little extra confidence from going through a tough game like that? Could you feel something different at the end of that Harvard game that, you know, maybe you can really build on even more over the next 4 weeks, starting obviously this Saturday against Cornell?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, having a 60-minute game where you have to fight, coming out on top, I think that gives you a little bit of confidence, just knowing that you're not going to break down in the end of the game. You're not going to get tired. You're going to keep fighting. And no matter what team throw at you, you're going to punch back and just be there at the end of games and be in position to win.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. Saturday's game is a 1 p.m. start on Powers Field. You can watch it live on ESPN Plus or listen on TuneIn or 103.3 FM WPRB. A reminder, the Bob Cerace Show will take place Thursday night at the Alchemist and Barrister and will be available as a podcast that night or Friday morning. You can get all episodes of the Princeton Podcast Network downloaded directly to your listening device by subscribing to Princeton Tigers on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast network.